And time to find out some of the things that are happening in the world of maths and sciences. We do that each and every week with Professor John O'Connor. Now, this week, John, we've already got in a little bit ahead of you. We're talking about those dreaded passwords. None of us can remember them. None of us want to use them, but we don't have a choice.
You're right, and there are so many. In fact, I did a tally recently. I think there are about 60 passwords I'm supposed to memorise.
Good luck with that.
How do you do that? Yes, I know. So, of course, you write them down. Of course, that means they're not very secure anymore.
Well, the experts say don't write them down, yep. And they have all these different ways of how we should remember them, but I can't remember my name half the time, so good luck with 60 passwords?
For different things, yes.
Goodness me.
But yeah, there have been standards in the past, and unfortunately, many of the sites you go to impose these older standards, and there are things like, you know, you've got to have a capital letter, you've got to have a number, sometimes you've got to have a symbol, it's got to be at least 8 letters long, and all that sort of stuff. But the good news is that the National Institute for Standards and Technology in the US, which is one of the standard-setting organisations, earlier this year released a new set of guidelines. And they've realised the impracticality of and actually the susceptibility of some of these rules. And so the new guidelines actually get rid of some of these horrible things that really make it so difficult to remember passwords. And the sorts of things that they do is they talk about the people who are receiving the passwords, you know, the organisation, and you know, there are some rules they should follow. They should allow people to have a minimum of 64 characters in their password if they want to. Now, that means you can now put in a phrase. You know, you might think of a phrase that makes it easier to remember passwords, but that's rather than just, you know, 8 letters or 8 characters. Now, they also say that the things that you shouldn't use are, and that they should be checked against, are things like dictionary words. So, you know, the words are in the dictionary.
That doesn't really leave a heck of a lot, though, does it?
Well, it does, actually. But let me just tell you the other things you can't do. You can't have repetitive characters like AAAA or 1234 or something. And you can't have the name of the service or your username. So if you've got, say, a Google account, you can't write, you know, Google 1234 or something, or Google 7 or whatever, or your username is the password. So all of these things are things to make it harder for the hackers to pick. Now, in terms of dictionary words, there are a great way to foil a hacker is to use a dictionary word but misspell it, because there's only one way of spelling it correctly, but there are dozens of ways of misspelling it. So that's one way of getting around that problem. But the other thing that they recommend, which is really good, is to allow spaces. Now, the reason...
Because at the moment you can't.
You can't, yeah. But they're recommending you can. That means you can then write a phrase. Or you can I saw one expert say, look, the best way of creating a password that's unbreakable is go to 4 random pages in a dictionary, pull out a word from each page, put a space in between.
It just gets more complicated, doesn't it?
It does. But the other thing is this, they're saying with these rules is that you should not oblige the user to change the password on a regular basis. You know, there are some systems every year or every 3 months or every month. And every month is ridiculous because how are you going to remember? Mm. You know, there are systems, even in this institution, where you change it every month. You can't use anything that you've used before. And, of course, you know, when you're changing that frequently, then people are going to write it down, which means it's no longer secure.
I actually worked in a place once where somebody used to, they had a password, believe it or not, on a post-it note, and they actually would put it on the computer, and at the end of the day they would put it underneath, back in their drawer, and it's like, well, the drawers didn't lock because the type of workplace it was, so anybody could see that's Joe Blow's password and get in. So if we continue to make them just so hard for people to remember, we're actually just going to make it easy for the hackers anyway. Now, here's my paper, my password.
That's right. So the rule then is to actually start to look at something which is longer, which is a bit more complex, and so it could be a phrase. And I don't mean let me in as a phrase, because that's another one that is very popular as a password. But, you know, a phrase which could also include misspelt words, but not just one word out of a dictionary. What would be really good if you were multilingual is 2 or 3 different words from different languages.
A couple of words in English, a couple of words in Japanese, something else.
Yeah, a bit of German, a bit of French, yeah. All of these things make life a lot easier than having to try and remember these horribly constrained passwords.
Well, John O'Connor, guten Abend. We'll talk to you next time around.
Auf Wiedersehen.
And we'll see if we can get our passwords fixed up to NURFM 103.7.